All right, folks, welcome into the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host Mike, along with Chuck here.
How's he?
What's up, Chuck?
What's up?
Not much,
Not
man.
much.
I'm wiped out. I've been watching too much TV. I think there's a lot of stuff that's popping off right now on TV, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, same here. Adding a little bit of reading into my repertoire, but we just finished up a few shows and we're of course watching Severance, which we'll talk about today, and then I'm pretty much almost done through the first season of 1923, which I think the second season is going on right now. Very not a fan so far. It's insanely dumb, except for like one storyline involving Native Americans versus the church, but other than that, I'm like completely disinterested at the moment.
Yeah,
So
Taylor Sheridan, I think, is a hit or a miss. I don't know.
I think there's, if this goes with multiple Taylors, but there can be too much Taylor. I know you have a problem with
With
too
another
much
Taylor.
Taylor.
Yeah.
And then I think I've overdosed on, because we just finished, Landman, and then I'm doing the 1923. I think it's just too much Taylor.
Yeah.
So I'm debating whether I want to continue with season two of that, but especially when there's so many other things out there,
True.
and so many things coming up. In the past 2 days, we got trailers dropped for White Lotus season three,
Yeah.
which looks insane. And actually, we watched 5 of the 6 episodes of White Lotus season two yesterday, somehow last night, for like,
These gays are trying to kill me.
yeah, we just like it's such a good show. I forgot
Is.
Mike White does a great job with that, so that's good. And then the final season of and so the White Lotus season three, you got the like almost a 3 minute trailer. It's coming out on February 16th or
Yep.
17th, and then we have Righteous Gemstone season four, which also we got a trailer today, which
Double
looks fantastic as
Goggins,
well.
baby. Yeah. Like, love
So
it.
yeah, Goggins February and Goggins March and
Yeah.
Goggins April, and then can't beat that for a Q1 beginning of Q2 TV watching. So,
Yeah. For real. It's been a
but
heck of a start to the year. I'm glad we're back into some bangers. So, 'cause last year it started slow. Let's hope this year finishes just as strong. So, we'll see.
yeah, no, it should be good. So
Yep.
excited, and we just finished Silo season two like a couple weeks
Yeah.
ago. We didn't talk about it last week when we did our end of the year pod, but Mike, what'd you think overall, season one versus season two? Both, and just preface real quick, both of us have read the first two books, which is Wool and Shift. So the first two seasons of the TV go through the first book, Wool, and then like they cherry pick a couple pieces out of the second book, Shift, and we're both about 20% into the third book called Dirt Dust. I can never
Dust.
get it right.
Dirt, dust, it's all the same thing. Yeah, I think season two started off slow for me. I think knowing all the buildup and the anticipation, love season one, but I think having read the book, read Shift, right, going into knowing what I knew, I think it started slow. But then when the show ended, right, we have the rebellion and all this stuff. They've changed some things from the show, from the book into the show, which is fine. There's a little bit of licensing there, but I love the last 10 minutes, probably wasn't even 10 minutes, of the final episode of season two, where we got to see a flashback to before the end times. That's mainly from book two, which is Shift. And considering you just read it, I enjoyed book two Shift more than I enjoyed book one Wool. Just world building. Everything was, it had global implications. I loved it.
Yeah, same here. I think, and it may have been like a little bit for me too, because I didn't start reading Wool, the first book, until pretty much majority through, like most of season two was completed, the TV show. So I kind of knew, it kind of made it a little different. But I really enjoyed the books better than the show. But I really did love
Oh,
both
yeah.
shows. But as you mentioned, been in the same camp. Second season started off a little slow, but then like the last three or four episodes, I think were, because you get to some of the kind of ending to the first book Shift. And
Definitely.
then you get a couple of nuggets from the second book, Wool. And then now, knowing the stakes from in the before times from the book, from the second book, Wool, you can understand the world a little better. And I'm wondering how the show is going to deal with that,
Yeah.
because what we haven't gotten the show until the last 3 minutes of the finale in season two is what the world was like before. And then even you just get a glimpse in the year 2049 in Washington, D.C. So it's just two people like having a conversation. And it'll be interesting to see if season three of the TV show is going to go in that direction, which the second book, with the before, there's a lot of new, it'll, if they go, you'll basically have all new characters.
Yeah.
And then, do you take a season off of having, the current cast as is, into season three? You'll probably see a lot of flashbacks, I think, more kind of flipping and flopping between the present timeline and our TV show versus
Yeah.
the historical context, and then leading up through Wool or the second book Shift. But
Yeah.
what are your thoughts? How do you think they should do season three of the show?
Yeah, we talked a bit about this a little bit offline, and I think they should be past, historically heavy, right? With the flashback, as well as, there'll be some jumps to the main time. I think they should really develop the historical piece, right? Because that's so key to understanding like why they're all there and the stakes for the future. And if I were Apple, right, I would make season three, because we know there's only going to be four seasons of this show. I would make season three very past heavy. So at the same time, film season three and four in parallel, because you're only going to need a little sprinkling of season three cast in season four. And then I think that way you could just drop it within 8 months apart and make it an amazing ending.
No, I think that's great. And if anybody can do that, I think that's Apple. I mean, even
Yeah.
though these are longer than like, say, Slow Horses,
Yeah.
but I mean, you do have Slow Horses, which always has one in the can, one recording, and one being released.
Exactly.
But then on the other hand, you get Severance, which is another wildly popular show that was 3 years before season two. So, yeah, I think almost with Silo, you have to kind of try to, I think three and four in conjunction would be good, and then kind of curate the release dates on that. But,
Hit me with a season 3A, which is like 8 episodes, and then a 3B, which is like another. Pull a Squid Game for me. Like, just do that. Yeah.
No, for sure. And we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it, and
Big
it's
time.
a the books are really good. Highly recommend Hugh Howey
Yeah.
Shift, or Wool Shift and Dust. So, but yeah, any other thoughts? So we didn't really go into the details much, but don't want to, if we talk more about it and you haven't seen it, then it may ruin kind of
Yeah.
lot of the good reveals and surprises. But
Yeah, there's good
I think,
build up toward the end. Yeah, I won't go into much more detail. Yeah.
Yeah, and what makes it good though is kind of like it's a story as well, not just about kind of the reveals and the mystery. You're almost like forget like wanting to know why we're in this situation, you know? So
Yeah, no, banger of a show. I'm looking forward to the next season. Really looking forward to it, considering we've both read Shift now. Glad you
yeah.
caught up on that. You're ahead of me in Dust, but I'm gonna get there. I got an audiobook. Yeah. So
Yeah, I'll finish Dust this weekend, so don't worry about that.
I'll try to power through. I got like nine hours left. Yeah.
You'll see a text message from me that with fire emojis saying like, "Holy shit."
Yeah. I've heard the third book ends really well, so we'll see. Yeah. But
Nice.
yeah, nothing else on Severance for me. Silo.
Silo.
Did we talk Squid Game? Because that was another show that ended. Yeah, I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah, and then what else are you watching? Anything to
Nothing crazy, to be honest with you. Severance, The Rookie, which is formulaic network television.
How's the latest season of Love Boat Sailing Yacht or whatever it's
Below Deck
called?
Sailing, yeah, it was
Yeah.
okay. It just ended. It was okay. It's the least dramatic for the most part of the franchises, right? Because you got Below Deck
Yeah.
Mediterranean, Sailing Yacht, Down Under, and Adventure, which they only did one season of. But Sailing Yacht is by far the least dramatic. We'll see what they do next season. I think it's going to be a new boat, new crew. God, I'm so depressed that I know all of this. But Below Deck Down Under is about to start next week, and the trailer for it looks like it's just jam-packed, filled with drama. So it'll be interesting. It's Down Under, but it's going to be the first time in Africa, so that'll be really interesting. Yeah. So just finished Sailing Yacht. So
Nice.
yeah.
Well, we head right into Severance.
Woo! Love Severance. Love it. We didn't talk the last 2 weeks about Severance. So, we got caught up on other stuff, and we talked about the top 10 of 2024 and our biggest disappointments and surprises. And it's good to and just to touch into that, it's good to hear some people. We got some good feedback from people that listened and got recommendations for shows. And so if you guys haven't seen Severance, you gotta watch that. We have a coworker that hasn't watched it yet, and I don't know what he's waiting for. We're two episodes in, and I think Adam Scott is a very underrated actor.
Yeah, I mean there's not anything that he's in that I don't like. I mean he's in a lot of things you don't even think about, but I mean he's just a very good actor. He's very
Yeah.
funny. He's very he's kind of like but almost he's one of our better actors, and I think we're starting to see that, elapse more in TV as the medium, and he's very recognizable from Parks and Rec, but then now Severance, he's the star.
Yeah. Is
You know, and
he
he
like TV's Tom Hanks? I mean, yeah, he's not like a character actor, but like he's like a regular he seems like a regular guy in every role that he is, except for Step Brothers, to where he's just likable. Like, I don't know, like I get like a Tom Hanks feeling from him. Like he's just he, like this could be us.
We steal it from another show, or is he Cruise or is he Hanks,
Oh, yeah.
from the rewatchables. But it's funny because you made me think when you said Tom Hanks. I was listening to the official podcast that Ben Stiller and Adam Scott host, and they talked about in the first episode that Adam Scott said he modeled his running through the halls after Tom
Tommy
Cruise is
C.
all his running that he does in his movies. Which no, in real life, nobody runs like that. Like as a runner,
No.
with your knees high and you're just doing this. But it was funny to hear them talk about that. But yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of like the like he seemed he could be in, your friend group, just a kind of normal guy that seems like pretty down to earth.
Would love to get a beer with him.
Just
chill. Yeah.
Or have a meal at Pip's. Sit in the
Yeah.
VIP section.
That's right. Get some potato skins on Lumen. Yeah.
And you know that's a real diner called the Phoenicia Diner in upstate New York, like in the Catskills. And
Interesting.
apparently now it's getting
Oh, yeah.
inundated with Severance fans and stuff going up and having lunch and stuff.
No
But
doubt.
yeah, so we've had two episodes so far. I think both you and I will probably watch the third tonight. It usually comes
Oh,
out,
yeah.
we're recording this Thursday. It usually comes out like 8 or 9 at night, I think, on Thursdays
Yeah.
here. So I imagine, I think last week I watched it late Thursday night, you watched it early Friday morning. So I
Yeah,
think
yeah.
we'll both, we've got to talk about that next. But we've seen the first two episodes so far. First episode was all an all any episode, second was all Audi. So,
Yeah.
the first episode. The first time, in the first season, there was always the in and outs of the innies and the outies. So this was first time to have like a pure innie and then a pure outie. So it was an interesting, thought it was an interesting avenue back into the show. To me, I would almost have released both of these at the same time.
100%. 100%.
A lot of networks will do that where they'll release the first two streaming and then everything week to week. I think this would have been a good opportunity to do that just because it's just it's the same part of the story told through the innie and the outie. So
Yeah.
it was nice to see the perspective like from the innie episode of just you think about being an innie or and you're basically never, as soon as you leave, you're back in. It's not like you get to go, and I'm assuming that's kind of the same as an outie, but in the outer you sleep, right? Two at night. So it had me thinking about a lot of different things, with the severance procedure as the innie is awake, let's say 8 hours a day for work, right? And the outie is awake 8 hours a day and you're sleeping 8 hours. So like you're really, I mean, depending on sleep and everything, but you're kind of really bifurcating when you're awake and when you're unconscious at work or the other part takes over. But it's almost kind of a waste because as an outie, if you get done at 5 and you commute, you get home at 6 and have dinner, do whatever, and then you go to bed at like 10 p.m. and then you wake up and get ready to go to work. You have like 4 hours of
Yeah.
time versus 8 hours where you're the innie. But anyways, that's a different tangent.
It's an interesting theory in that, like, all as an outie, like, you pretty much are only awake at night. So, like, what does that do to, like, you mentally and being only around? Like, yeah, you have the morning time, but the sun's still coming up, but, like, you don't get any sun. Hardly at all. I mean, yeah, you get the weekends, but it's just weird, right, to think of it that
Oh
way.
yeah, the weekends too. Yeah.
Yeah, but just having no concept of what the sun looks like. I mean,
Yeah.
as an innie, you've never actually seen it in that persona.
Yeah.
Because when he came back and you had Gwendolyn or whatever her name
Owie
was,
Shawkat, yeah.
yeah, she was like,
Gwendolyn.
what's the wind feel like? Does it feel like somebody just breathing in your face all the time? And it's like.
Yeah, what's the sunrise or sunset,
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, or I didn't
I went out
see
long
it,
enough.
or I wasn't out long
Yeah.
enough. But it was, we get basically the any, Mark returning, trying to find Miss Casey because, the last thing he said in season one is she's alive is the any before he's woken back up.
Yeah, that was his first pit stop was wellness. Yeah.
Wellness, everything was gone. Everything, he goes to their office area, the macro data refining group, and he has a new team, which, as we already mentioned, Owie Shawkat, but Bob Balaban as Mark W,
Yes.
and a Italian actor as an Italian refiner who was, yeah, there it was magnificent for the very short amount of time in there. But
Yeah, Mark.
Mark Scout tries to frame Mark W as well, which is great.
He writes a note. He's like, "I'll burn this place to the ground," or whatever. Yeah, and he calls him milkshake instead of
Milkshake.
milkshake. Yeah.
So it was, we get to see Mark from the innie perspective. And basically, we see he's allowed back, but none of the others are there. He's being propagandized, lied to,
Gaslit,
that we found out
yeah.
after the gaslit after the second episode. But he's basically being told that they became celebrities and they've been out for 5 months and they've really redefined everything. And it leads to a funny moment where two Mark picks up the microphone thing, like, is the board on? There's anybody for the board on? Like he's not, all he's thinking about is Miss Casey and then his team with Dylan and Helly and Irving. And he basically, this episode of making demands to get them back, and by the end of the episode, they're back in their any form. The crew's back together. Did I know kind of went through that real quick. What's your, feelings on the first episode, the any being an all any, and then why they give in to, and I guess we know some of this from the second episode, so we don't can't we don't we can talk about it overall, but
Yeah. I really enjoyed the first episode. I think I read some people weren't too happy because the new team was basically just I mean they were there for like 5 minutes, right? So it was kind of, yeah, they were in the trailer, right? So you'd think that's they're gonna have a bigger part. I enjoyed it because we have to reestablish the baseline of them coming back to Lumen. And having no idea what their outie is, no, right? All they know is they were outside for a while, except for Dylan G. And now they're back in Lumen and could be in trouble, might not be in trouble. They don't even know, right? I think it was a superb episode to reestablish the baseline, and I was hyped for this. And I know they released the teaser early, but like the first 8 minutes of the first episode is just Mark running through the halls, which I read that it took him like 5 months to film that shit, which is like, no wonder it took so forever to get this show produced. Like,
Yeah, they talked about it in there for in the first podcast with Adam Scott and Ben Stiller. So that was, and they had to move walls and do different kind of filming, and it was
angles
very
and
fascinating,
yeah.
how just that simple scene of him running through the severed floor, just kind of the machinations behind, putting a show on and all the work that goes into the background of it. So
And I do like that, his first stop was wellness, and then of course we have the guy in the background, like, peeking in. I don't know if that was Milchek. It wasn't Milchek. It was a it
now
was
we
a
don't
different
know who
guy.
that is. That was interesting too, because we just see like a shadowy figure back there looking, and it definitely didn't look like Milkshake. It doesn't look like Mr. Drummond or the
Nope.
Frolic from the second episode. So, it almost looked like Doug Rayner from the first season, the security, but he's dead.
And he's
So,
dead.
unless they bring back a
Far as we know, he's dead. Yeah, it's a good point.
so.
But I do like the last thing for the first episode for me is that when he went to wellness, just the details of the show, they literally just took the paintings off the wall, took the, like, I think there was still like a couch in there or something like that. Maybe there wasn't any furniture. But they literally just like took the doors off and just put sheetrock over it and didn't even like paint. Or like put like new like accents on the wall. It literally was just like two white squares. So it was like, okay, like you're not gaslighting him to think that she was never there. You're wanting him to know she's no longer here. Like everything that Lumen does inside is intentional.
And they've got a good construction crew. So Let me ask you this. So, sorry, listeners, as you may know, my brain goes off in tangents. What's the construction crew look like? Because we know that they've changed locks and they put in new doors and they've done this kind of stuff before. And is there a different elevator? Because we know Milchick is not severed, or at least that's what we're led to believe. And he's the same on the outside and inside. So I guess there's probably like a service elevator that construction crews come in to work on this stuff, or do the goats, or the OND, like,
Are
is
they
there
3D
like,
printing sheetrock back at OND or yeah?
is there another crew down there that's like severed construction workers?
For real.
So.
There, I would think there's something like that, like where it's all in-house, because how else do you get Kier's house in the perpetuity wing? Like that shit's wild.
And we learned something, and I'll spoil it in the second episode. We learned the hubris of Lumen that they make all their doors in-house from
Yes.
when. So
Yes. That
we
is a good
will
point.
talk about one of the best scenes in the show, which comes from episode two of this
Now,
season.
the any scene where they are in the new break room, is that the end of the first episode?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, because it's all innies in the
It's all
first,
any, right?
and then all Audi in the second.
I do like this is my last thing for the first episode. I do think it's hilarious. I watched this with my friend in Denver when I was over there when it came out. I think before even the end of the first episode, I had a theory, right? And we'll get to that more, that Helly is not severed with the return of the crew. She's doing things that are throwing me off. When Mark hugged her, she was a little taken aback. She didn't go for the clasp. And then she keeps mentioning how the security cameras are all gone. She keeps trying to take their guard down. I don't like it.
And we kind of glossed over a bunch of some of the details. So like, and that you bring up a good point, because the big debate kind of on Reddit and everything, and the big takeaway from the first episode is the Helly R that returns the severed floor. Is it Helly R? Is it Helena? The Audi, right? And we get, as Mike mentioned, the when Mark hugs her, she's kind of like, not her normal reaction. The way she left there by kissing him and all flustered, like all of that, and then coming back down, you would think she would almost be looking for Mark to give him a big hug, and she just kind of like, and then they're in the new break room, as you mentioned. They're watching the video that was put together really quickly and showed like the
The
macro
Lumen
data refinement
building.
uprising, that the Lumen building is alive in the video, basically. And
Fun
even
fact,
what,
you know whose voice that was?
Keanu Reeves, baby.
Keanu Reeves, baby. Didn't know it until afterwards.
It sounded so familiar, and then I was reading about it, and they're like, it's Keanu Reeves' voice, and it's like, whoa, no way.
The video of the macro data uprising is just a fucking acid trip. Sorry for the language, but
Oh, it's great.
yeah, Irv's hair catching on fire when he says, "Let's burn this place down," had me cracking up.
Well, and it's like it just, and it also gives a recap. I mean, it's a useful device because it gives a recap of the first season of what they did with the macro data refinement uprising. And what it does too is it gives the audience a recap, and then it gives the innies like kind of reminder of, hey, you guys did this, and like it's gonna be forever known this, but we're not mad at you. We're glad you're back, and now
Thank
we've made
you.
these change. We've given you like leather, fruit leather, or what, like some of the new snacks, and then pineapple bobbing, which is gonna, all this stuff is gonna lead me to so a theory that I have, I was telling you yesterday, but just thinking about why, I watched The Good Place, and it's like they think they're in heaven until Kristen Bell's character's like, this is a bad place, because like they're realizing like a frozen yogurt restaurant and all this shit that they like you know, it's like, this is not good, you know, like I mean,
Yeah.
but it takes like the whole first season, but it's just kind of like the rewards are like, are they rewards? Are they punishments? Or are they, you know, so it's very interesting. And I was listening, just one more thing on the innies, and then we can go to season
Yeah.
two or episode two. Also on the Ben Stiller's podcast, they took some questions and answers, Q&A, and someone asked, you know, or multiple questions came in, as like, we never see them eating lunch. Like, do
Yeah.
they bring their own lunch? Do they do this? Is it prepared? So they talked about, Ben Stiller said, it's not any weird secret. It's like the innies or the outies kind of, and I don't know if we'll learn this later on, but what he said is the outies like tell Lumen what they want for lunch, like to prepare for the meals, and that's what they prepare. But we don't even know that because we never see them eating lunch. And but it's just one of
Hopefully we
those
get a
other weird
scene.
thoughts that,
That'd be cool. I'd like a scene of that. Yeah. I'd like a scene where they like sit down to lunch and like Irv is like looking at his like tray and he's like, I don't like any of this. Why would my outie like recommend this? Like just to further like confirm that their personalities are completely different. Yeah. What? Yeah,
I'm sure
I
we
think
miss.
The first episode ended right where they're all telling where what happened to them outside. And Irv
Oh
was
yeah,
kind
to
of
well, in the bakery,
depressed. Yeah, and then he tries to leave and Dylan stops him. And Dylan, of course, was inside the whole time, and I love that he like in like he just gets on Milchick about cutting his belt up, and that's hilarious. Mark
he basically just focuses on the fact that like he tore his great belt,
Yeah.
and then the other piece of that, it also one of the greatest hugs in the history of television between Irving and
Oh,
Dylan,
yeah.
where they're just hugging for like 3 minutes during the conversation. And what does Irving say, like, I'm your favorite perk?
I
And it
know
was
you love
just,
the perks.
yeah, it was so brilliant. But yeah, and going back to that too, we have, you know, Mark talking to who I met Rick in, talk every word for word of what, you know, describe what happened. And then Irving, you know, wouldn't talk about that, but he talked about it with Dylan.
Yep.
And but then Helly basically saying, oh, my life was boring, and woke up in an apartment eating alone, and I went outside and tried to talk to a night gardener and told him to call the
Irv's
police.
onto
And
her.
you know,
Irv's
yeah, and
onto her.
Irv's onto her. And but I mean, that's another reason why also people were, you know, are thinking, is this Helly R or Helena? And is, you know, is this like, is this to throw us off, or is she just embarrassed that, does she not want to tell the innies, like, hey,
I'm one of
because,
them.
and that's the other thing, right? Because if you know, the easy, you know, the kind of where everybody's training to is that Helena basically replace, you know, is coming in season two as the outie, pretend to be Helly R. But on the other hand, her not telling the story of what happened, if she tells the rest of the innies, hey,
Can't trust
you
her.
know, I'm like the head of the company, then they're never gonna trust her. They may try to kill her,
Yeah,
because,
it's part shame. Yeah, she's yeah, embarrassed. Yeah.
or they're gonna want like, oh well, why don't you help us make these changes and let us see our family and let us do this? So it's very interesting. So I mean, it could go, it's probably gonna be that she's really Helena now down there this season, but it could go either way for me.
It does seem too obvious. I think we did text about that, and there are easy ways to explain that she's not her outie. Could be, but it'll be interesting. I didn't have any other thoughts on episode one. We could flip to episode two, which
No. Yeah. Episode two, let's go.
was all Audi basically, and it starts with what Helena meeting with Cobell, pretty much the night of the conference, I think.
Yeah, where she basically Hobel wants an apology.
Yeah.
And so Helly's like, Helena's like, the board, I apologize. The board apologizes. It's like, it's just very, but we have, you know, all the kind of aftermath of right after it happens from the Audi perspective. Helena basically, you know, telling Milchek, go and talk to everybody and let Kier guide your hand, you know, whether to fire or bring them back or whatever. Helena has to put out a video. Now, if it's for internal or the investors or the just people who are there, like, hey, I was drinking and took a non-lumen approved medication,
For a
which,
skin rash.
yeah, for us, which leads me to believe that she's had some issues in the past with that. If that's like going, you know, she does this and like who is it for? Because if you do that, if you broadcast it out to everybody, then is it like, does that affect the stock price? Is this it's a private company, you know, all that kind
Do they
of
lose their
stuff. So,
political
but
favors? Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, when they had all the politicians there, and you know, the with season one, the politician's wife is severed to have a baby,
Yeah.
and was a big supporter. So now that do they, you know, does that affect them? And then, you know, how does that affect any political gains and capital they may have there?
Yep.
So basically, you know, Milchek goes around
On
and
his bike.
on this looking badass as always. Tramell Tillman is fantastic. All
Amazing.
black leather on his
Black
badass
turtleneck
bike.
now. Guy's full on.
Yeah.
He's full on corporate now.
Well, it's funny because didn't he was wearing white turtleneck a lot on the inside, and on the outside now he's got the black turtleneck.
Yeah.
And then he goes and visits everybody. He has a weird, you know, late night conversation with Mark Scout and then his sister and Rickon as well. And he's doing damage control. He's bringing a pineapple basket to Mark. Which how does he? Where does he put that on the motorcycle?
Didn't even think. Was he got it up his ass? Yeah, I didn't even
Yeah.
think about that. Yeah. Damn.
And then, you know, then he goes to Dylan and Irving and basically fires them. And that's how we kind of understand the lead up to the new team from at the beginning of episode one with the new innies. But what I really like too, we get to see Dylan's outside. So we have a
Yeah.
couple, you know, we talk more about Mark and everything, but we do see, you know, Irving gets fired, and the only we see Irving kind of go into payphone to call somebody, and then
Christopher Walken's watching him
Bert,
from a car.
yeah, and it looked like as online people are like, was he crying? Was he just staring down? Like, what's the nature of their relationship? What's Irving's relationship outside of, you know, outside of that? Was it just basically, that he, you know, this lunatic was outside of his house beating on the thing, and then he left, and did Bert follow him? And you know,
Yeah.
or do they have a relationship? Were they dating at once, you know, one time? Or
I think I was talking
so
to
it's
you or Jackie about this and how maybe there's a theory, or maybe it was Aaron and his girlfriend Hannah. You know, maybe the part of the show is about, you know, does love find a way back, right? Mark and Gemma, right? And Miss Cobell watching them in the first season and how they interacted and rooting for them to find a spark or something. And then, you know, maybe Bert and Irving did date on the outside and they just found their way back. You know what I mean? Like I think it could be interesting if it does go that way. I think it would be a hilarious premise that Bert on the outside is not who Irving obviously thinks he is. He's like a philanderer who just cheats on his husband. And he's like, don't you come around my house again. He's going to think I'm cheating again. And he's just like completely thrown off by his personality. I think it'd be hilarious, but.
When it, I like your theory too, if because again, kind of going back to the good place, you had two characters always finding their way back to each other as they were going through the different seasons, and they had reset their lives and they still found their way back. So is that love conquers all? It is an interesting theory, and we'll talk a little more theories there. So I think that's very possible. They're trying to find some connection like that as well. But and then Dylan's Audi was fascinating because this Audi was, and the only time we saw this Audi when he was woken up during the overtime contingency protocol. And so we just saw him in a closet talking to Milchick and getting to see his kid in the background. Which is funny how Milchick says, like, it was the kid's fault because he didn't count to 1,000. You know, like, it's like how out of touch you have to believe that a kid is going to follow directions that closely.
Yeah, complete lack of like corporate like accountability. Because even when they go to visit Milchick goes to visit Mark, and the Rickon is saying goodbye to Rebecca, and she's like, "Don't blame the baby, it's not her fault." And it's just like, "What are you talking about?"
Is it there's something a little off with everybody,
Everybody.
which leads me to some part of my other theory later,
Yeah.
but is a lot of it could be just a lot of people without kids and not understanding that world, and it's just, or it could be there's something weird in this whole town or whatever they're in.
Which we never see them leave, by the way.
No, another anyway, I'll talk more about it.
Yeah.
In
But
one
yeah.
season, 11 episodes, we've never seen them leave
No.
here.
Yeah. But yeah, so we see Dylan, right? And Dylan, we get to see his outside, and obviously he got Milchick like fired him like outside of his house, right? And so Dylan now he's got kids and a wife, and drives a minivan, which is amazing.
I drove, that's a different color, but pretty much that exact van in college.
Yikes.
It's mine was maroon, Plymouth
Oh,
Voyager.
there you go. But yeah, we see Dylan trying to get another job and the implications of being a severed person on the outside, right? Because I think this may be like one of the greatest scenes of the show is Dylan trying to get a job at a company called Good Doors, Great Doors,
Great doors.
something like that. And basically being interviewed by his older twin brother, it looks like. Which is ironic because he's interviewing for a job at a factory that makes doors, which he has no experience in terms of making carpentry. But the entire show was an idea of Dan Erickson's when he was working at a door factory. So we see them really hitting it off, and Dylan, being, I'll do anything basically, and it seems to be working out until he tells the guy that he has was at a severed position previously, and the guy immediately flips on him and is like, "Yeah, we'll be in touch."
He's like, that's abhorrent, and
Yeah.
basically then just is done. I mean, just done with him after they had this great rapport.
Yeah.
Mike, what's your favorite kind of door?
Craftsman.
What's a Craftsman door?
So it usually goes on a certain type of house. It's just wood, and it has like three windows at the top. It has a very traditional style. That's if I were any kind of door, I'd be a craftsman.
That's I thought about that, and I was thinking like, I'm gonna steal, I heard someone else say, but a saloon door, like in the old West,
Oh, there
because
you
I can
go.
see in and out, and I just kind of flap in the wind, they push me open, and I'm like,
That's pretty great.
But
Yeah, here you
yeah,
go.
I didn't even know what a pocket door was. Oh, okay,
It's all blurred, yeah, but yeah. People can't even see it on the recording. Anyway, it's hilarious. Let's post that on Instagram. What kind of door are you? I'll pull a saloon door for you, and I'll pull a craftsman door for me. That's hilarious. Interesting that Dylan chose Pocket Door.
Let's say, what was the saying in the show that you could tuck away, or I forget the exact
Yeah, be used
wording,
when
but
you need to be or something like
yeah.
that, and also kind of like you're out of the way when you don't like when you're when you don't need to be. Yeah, it was a very
Yeah.
interesting choice and hilarious that he kind of immediately said like pocket door.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you think about, I mean, you could tell how meticulously that he took from getting fired on a Friday, and then, or whatever it was, like over the course maybe of 5 to 10 days, where before they came back, he already had a job interview lined up, and he had done that much research on doors, and that he, was very prepared, and got a glint, besides it being a visually brilliant scene, you got a look on the outside world. And like you said, we knew that the Severance Procedure from the first season was controversial, but just seeing it how effect, like once these guys go into, if they ever leave, I mean, it's almost like a death sentence for them,
You just never
once they
turn
become
back on
severed.
again.
I mean, I
Yeah.
mean, Petey tries to get out and reintegrate, and he's done. But like, it's really, I mean, but it's a death sentence for the innie. It's not, for the outie as well. But I mean, it can be a career killer, especially if you admit you're had the severance procedure, and in this case, it just shut the interview down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then we know Mark goes back right away, basically by Milchek. Like, I mean, we go through, I think he has two meetings with Milchek, the first one with his sister and Rickon, and then we know Mark is at the diner with the sister, and then Mr. Drummond, the
Oh, Mr. Frolic.
Olaf, Mr. Fro, well, his actual name is Mr. Drummond
Oh,
in the
interesting.
show, but he has a frolic tattoo on his hand, and is Olaf, Olafson, who was in somewhere, and he's been in some other shows. Great job as a new character. And he overhears, Mark saying, like, he was thinking about, what was he was thinking about quitting or not going back, or but then Milchek, pays him another visit and basically says, the Mark I know, it's almost like the wellness, where Miss Kate, when they talk about your outie is this, and it's a reverse here. Milchek saying, your innie is happy, your innie has found love, your innie is purpose. And it's kind of, I mean, we haven't, with Dylan and Helly, and I think with all the characters we've seen, because Mark outside is, dealing with the grief of losing his wife, and he doesn't do anything, sits in the dark, drinks, occasionally sees his sister. At work, he's like in charge, and he's, sunny and happy, and then Dylan is super confident, like the best performer, and then out of that, his life is a mess, and like he had a bunch of previous short jobs, and he's very, is not as confident. And Irving inside is by the book and everything else, and the outside, you get a sense that he's like, very up to something, anti-establishment. And then Helena's in charge and ruthless, and then inside, Helly's like exploratory and emotional and open, and they're just, it's interesting how like it almost severs their personalities as well. So, I mean,
Yeah,
it
but it
does.
creating
It
the
seems like
exact
it.
opposite, yeah, for them to develop, right? That they can on the outside world. It's really interesting because I got a feeling Helena on the outside like does not have a partner at all. And that's I she keeps watching the video of her and Mark kissing, and I think she's like, "What the f like that's
Yeah,
not me."
rewind.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we also got to see, so they come back to the office, right? Oh yeah, and Milchick like tries to talk Dylan into being excited about a family visitation room on the severed floor, so like his family could come see him. That was episode one, but weird how they're trying to merge the two to some degree, because it's like he's not going to know these people at all.
Well, he'll recognize the child, but that's the thing. I mean, that's the only thing where you could say, like, oh, they could bring a fake family in there, but he's going to recognize the child. That image will never go out of his mind. So it'd be interesting to see, because there is an actress, in the cast to play his wife, Gretchen. So, there's speculation because you don't hear from her, you just hear her voice and you don't see her in the second episode.
He just shits on her.
Well, his big thing is about healthcare, and is his wife like and disabled,
He's
or
got the
his kids have
kids.
problems, or is it just, I mean, you see all the speculation in Reddit, and I'm like, well, everything, I like my kids are fine, but my only concern is healthcare, so it doesn't have to be like someone has a major issue. It's just the way jobs are tied. Healthcare's tied to jobs in the US. It's like always become it's always like one of the main factors, the whole
He
benefit package. But
does like the perks. He does like the perks.
when and then it gets the at the end when they all return and go down, another Helena theory is, we hear the ding on everybody going down, which is the audio cue of when they're transitioning into their severed innie. But Helena doesn't happen. But
Doesn't
I
ding.
haven't, I've been trying to stay away from Reddit clues and everything because there's apparently a bunch of like theories on looking at the time on the wall on all the transitions and times on the
Getting way too
watches when
into
they
the
put them in.
and it way too into the details, people.
So I mean, everybody on Reddit, there's like 1,000 posts a day analyzing every single word and phrase and screenshot, and it's too much. But
Yeah, I'm along for the ride. I have my own theories. I don't need, we don't need Reddit for that. But I do
let's do it.
like,
Go ahead.
I last thing for me before theories, but I do like how if you actually do take the timing and run it parallel of them at the end of episode two, where they go to their locker and they're putting their shit on and then going down the elevator, if you time it up in parallel, it is like perfectly timed how long it takes him to like come down the elevator. And then, like him to have the interaction and all of that stuff. Pretty crazy, amazing, like work by Ben Stiller and the team. So kudos to them.
No, for sure. And I'm sure we missed some things, but I think we just try to
We hit
grasp
the
some of the
highlights.
main point. So let's do a quick theory corner because again, I think we're both going to probably make it more complicated than it's probably trying to be. So I have like kind of three theories. Like one on the basic level is that it really is just a corporation, and their kind of goal with the Severance Floor is to see if they can bring back consciousness or transfer consciousness from a dead human being into a kind of clone or some kind of AI manufactured human being. I think, like, to me, that's one of the probably simplest basic explanations of the show. And that Mark, we didn't mention Cold Harbor, which is the name of the Gemma project, which they're 68%. Oh, like, is Mark and Gemma important because of the connection that they shared and the work that he's done around that? And that's why the main thing was to bring him back. So that's kind of my in reality theory. The when my tangential brain thinking theory is this is heaven, hell, and purgatory. Like with the severed floor, with the Audi world in Kier, and then the mysterious black hallway where the elevator goes down. So that's kind of
Great
my heaven, hell, and
literary theory.
purgatory.
I
Yeah,
love that.
very. And then my third is that it's like they're on the testing floor as well. Like, as you talk about, like, Miss Case goes back to the testing floor. Like, this is like a PFL environment versus PRL environment. This will even, so there's, I don't know. Those are kind of my three main theories here.
Yeah, I've got some light theories. One, they're doing some sort of emotional trauma manipulation with the macro data. His wife died, he's removing the grief of her being dead. But then that also plays into the clone theory, where they are maybe trying to bring people back. Maybe a part of them is actually dead and they're creating new people, new versions. I have another theory that they're trying to resurrect Kier, and this is their research and development floor for creating somebody off of a personality
I
through
think that's
memories. Yeah.
a very valid one as well, because in the new opening credits that we see in the second episode, the very end is a baby Kier crawling like out of Mark's mouth or calling like in front of him, and
Yeah.
so like it's Kier's head on a baby. So
Yeah.
I think that's a very viable theory as well.
It's pretty wild. It's a pretty
They're trying to
wild show.
reincarnate him.
Yeah, I think I saw a quote that Ben Stiller said he's read a lot of the theories, but nobody has it quite right yet. So I think we're all kind of on the same track that
It's
we're
gonna
probably not
end, and
far off.
it's all gonna be, it's all like everybody's theory is right. They're gonna figure out a way to
Oh
make every
yeah.
Redditor happy.
Yeah, because if we're talking clones, right? I mean, they've got the goats or the sheep or whatever it is, and that was a big thing about cloning back in the 90s and 2000s, whatever. We still don't know what that's for. Can't wait to find out. But yeah,
Well, and it's, you think
banger.
about it, they clone the sheep and then they test different products on animals and stuff. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, kind of similarities now that, hey, did they move on from the testing on the animals to the
They're not
humans?
ready yet.
I know Mark Scout likes cabritos for lunch and goat cheese, but we're not ready,
Yeah. All the food is
so
in-house made for sure. Yeah, born and raised. Yeah. Yeah, weird show. Freaking love it. I'm so glad it's back because it's been three years.
Three.
COVID plus the writer's strike plus long time to make the first opening scene. So thank goodness it's back. I don't have any other thoughts on it, but that is just wild.
No, good show, and wonder how long it'll take till we get to see some, actual some reveals. We're getting kind of little drips and drabs. I mean, we got the She's Alive from the end of last season, but I think the inflection point comes where, kind of like how we talked about Silo, where when you care about the people and the show becomes about story and either grief or a bigger world versus like a mind fuck show where you're just waiting for the next big reveal. But if there's no substance, and I think we have substance with Severance, and we like these characters, and we want to see Bert and Irving together. We want to see, a Helly, Mark, Gemma, throuple. We want to see, we want to see these people, we're starting to care. So
Yeah, we
it's,
want them to win their battles, but the way we want them. Yeah. I think the show will have a pretty nice reveal probably in the next couple episodes, and then there will be a biggin' at the end that'll blow everybody's mind. Probably bigger than She's Alive. So, really looking forward to that.
She's alive again.
Again! She's alive twice, and it's like two photos. I had another small theory that maybe it has something to do because remember, like they're weird about like Kier and the Eagans and all this stuff, and like in the videos and stuff, he's flying like he's Jesus. What if this is like a weird show about like trying to find the reincarnation of Kier, and like Mark is like really good at like the macro data refinement? Remember, he had the freshman fluke. Like, what if he's like a reincarnation and Lumen theory of Kier. I don't know, man. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes, yeah, is for that mark the second coming of Jesus, or I mean, that's a, you can take this in so many directions because we don't
So many.
know a lot of things in the overall scheme of things. Like I said, we don't know, you know, is this a Truman Show concept, like where he never leaves and he tries to leave and something always keeps him from leaving and he's really on a big sound stage, you know, like is this town, what is this town? You know, so
Yeah, you never
it's
leave the
interesting.
Lumen campus because it's all just the town of Kier.
Yeah. So,
But
but yeah, nothing
wild.
else for me. I can't wait to watch the third episode tonight.
Tonight, baby. I'm gonna look to see if it's available now, but yeah, definitely gonna be watching it tonight. People check it, tune in next week. We're gonna be talking more Severance. We're gonna be prepping up for White Lotus and Gemstones in the next couple of weeks. I think White Lotus is in like 3 weeks, something like that, less than.
February 17th.
So get ready for that, and what we're gonna post out there. What if you were a door? What kind of door would you be? I'm gonna put that on Instagram. So tune in next week. We'll catch up more. Check out the website. Check out the podcast platforms. Check out the Insta. That's where we post most of our content. And as Brother and Kier likes to say.
Mahalo.